The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, don't repay evil for evil. You're not allowed to do that if you call yourself a Christian. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. A blessing? What? Yeah, this is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need to learn how to be nice to rude people and not be rude back to them.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, we bring our series called The Miracle of Mercy to a close. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In just a bit, we're going to let you know how you can get the complete audio collection for this series. It's the perfect way to stay in God's Word when you're on the go. Stay with us to find out how to get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Being an Agent of Mercy in the World.
So don't expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. And you can't be offended by people's sins if you're going to show them mercy. If you're going to win them to Christ, you just have to love them where they are. Here's a good example of it in Matthew chapter 9, talking about Matthew, who was one of the disciples, followers of Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. In those days, tax collectors, that was the most hated profession in the Roman Empire, because Rome said to the tax collectors, here's what you want, we want you to collect, and anything you get above that, you can keep. So it was extortion. And so a tax collector could come to you and say, you owe this much money. You had no alternative but to pay it or get thrown in jail. He would give a little bit to the government and keep the rest. They were all every tax collector was corrupt. And Jesus goes to a party with tax collectors. And it says that night, Matthew invited Jesus to dinner with his fellow tax collectors and many other, quote, notorious sinners, end quote. Now, the Pharisees, that's the religious legalist, they were indignant. Why does your teacher eat with such scum? They asked. Well, that's very loving. Okay. When Jesus heard this, that comment, he said, hey, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to be merciful, not to offer sacrifices. For I, Jesus, have come to invite sinners to me, not those who think they're righteous. And I didn't come for people who think they're well. I came for people who know they're sick, who know they're broken, who know they have problems. I've come to invite sinners to me, not to those who think they're righteous. Now, the religious Pharisees, the legalists, they couldn't understand it. Why is this guy, you know, acting cozy with crooks and riffraff? He's going to all these parties. He's, you know, there's a bunch of drunks and gluttons and, you know, Jesus is a party animal. They actually accused him that in the Bible. He's a party animal. But Jesus was not looking for their approval. What he was doing is he was looking and listening to the needs of other people. He was going to where the needs of other people were, and he wasn't offended by their sins. You can't help somebody you're offended by. You got to show mercy. Okay, here's the third principle. Choose my words carefully. If you're going to be an agent of mercy in the world this week, you're God's secret agent of mercy. And you're going out and you're showing mercy in the workplace and in the neighborhood and in the grocery store and at the post office. You have to choose your words carefully. Mercy puts a monitor on my mouth. If I'm going to be an agent of mercy, there are some things I just can't say. Does that make sense? I can't be mean to people. I can't be rude to people. I can't be sarcastic to people, and I can't put them down. I have to choose my words carefully. Colossians 4:6. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. Circle the word pleasant and kind. You are never persuasive when you're abrasive. If you can't get what you want in a grocery store or in a department store or at a restaurant, and you're being offensive and you're being rude to the clerk or the waitress, you are never persuasive when you're abrasive. He says, when you talk, you should always be kind, always be pleasant, so you'll be able to answer everyone in the way you should. That's what agents of mercy do. Let me show you another verse up here on the screen, Ephesians 4:29. Do not say harmful things, which tear people down, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. In other words, words that build them up, not tear them down. Do your words tear down people? They build them up. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. That's the Bible. That's God telling you how you are to speak if you're an agent of mercy. You do not say harmful things, but you say what people need. Words that will help them become stronger. Okay? Now, how in the world do I do that? How do I, you know, if I've had this pattern, maybe you grew up learning, you were in a family, it's common to put each other down. How do I break that habit in my life? You ask God for wisdom. Wisdom, we talked about this a while back, makes you patient. The more wise you are, the more patient you'll become. The more wise you are, the more merciful you'll be. The more you understand the hurts of other people, the more you cut them slack, the more gracious and merciful you are. James chapter 3, verse 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure and it's peace-loving. In other words, if I'm wise, I love peace, not conflict. There are people on the internet who are not wise. They don't love peace. They love conflict. They love arguing. They love trolling. They love getting into a fight. They're not wise. They're unwise. The wisdom that comes from heaven is peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. When I'm not gentle, I'm not being wise. And it's willing to yield to others. Wisdom is full of mercy. The more your life is filled with mercy, the wiser you're going to be. And the wiser you become, the more merciful you're going to be to people around you. Even people who totally disagree with you. Even people who don't like you. Even people who consider themselves to be your enemy. You still show them mercy because you're wise. Okay? Now let me give you a fourth principle. Start looking and listening for people's needs. Don't be offended by people's sins. Choose your words carefully. And here's the fourth principle of mercy. Value saving people over keeping rules. In God's book, saving people is a whole lot more important than keeping rules.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
If you'd like a copy of this entire series in a boxed CD set or via MP3 download, just let us know. It'll be our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. The Miracle of Mercy complete audio collection by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for when you're in the car, at the market, at lunch, or at the gym. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get yours. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great Bible study tool, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
In God's book, saving people is a whole lot more important than keeping rules. Rules are not nearly as important as relationships in God's book. Rules are not as important as relationships. You value saving people over keeping rules. Now, Jesus modeled this over and over and over. I gave you one example there, Matthew chapter 12. It was against the law, a religious law, for you to pick grain in a field on the Sabbath and eat it. That was considered work in the traditions of that day. And yet Jesus' disciples were hungry, so he said, well, just get some grain there, eat some of that. And the religious Pharisees, the legalists, they were indignant. They go, hey, why are you guys breaking all this rule? He goes, they're just hungry. He cared more about his disciples' empty stomachs than he did care about their traditions. And over again, Jesus often broke rules to heal people because healing people was more important than keeping rules in God's book. That is the God of mercy. Here's a good example. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus says this to the legalists, to the judgmental Pharisees. He said, you know, you Pharisees, you're careful to tithe 10% of every part of your income. But he said, then you ignore the other important matters of God's law. Justice, you know, being fair to people. Showing mercy, treating people with mercy. And faith, having faith. Yes, you should tithe. But he says you also shouldn't neglect the more important things. Now, I think this actually verse is kind of funny to me because Jesus did not get along with the Pharisees. They did not like him. He was full of grace and mercy, and they were full of legalism and judgmentalism. The only thing that Jesus ever complimented in the Pharisees was this. He said, you guys tithe. He goes, you got that right, okay? You got that one right. You tithe 10% of everything you make, goes back to the Lord to say, it really all belongs to you, and this is to prove it. I'm just honoring you with the first 10%. He said, that's a good thing. You got that one right. But, he says, you can't use that as an excuse to not do the other stuff, like treating people fairly, showing mercy, and having faith. By the way, sometimes you'll hear people say, Jesus never spoke about tithing. Of course he did. There's one example. He says, you should tithe. But he says, that's minor comparison to treating people with mercy and being fair and just with people and not ripping them off. He goes, that's the more important stuff. Yeah, keep tithing. You need to do that. But this does not give you an excuse to overlook the other important stuff. So you need to value saving people over keeping rules. So those are four principles of mercy. Now, what I want to do is talk for just a couple of minutes on six places to be an agent of mercy. I could give you a bunch of them, but I just want to give you six ways that you can be a secret agent, not even secret, just an agent of God's mercy this next week. You might write these down. Number one, here's the first way to be an agent of mercy this week. Look for people in a crisis and listen to them. They need to be listened to. When people are in a crisis, your ear is a healing tool. You can heal people just by listening to them. That's why people pay big money to have counselors listen to them. There's healing in listening. Look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, first, what's a burden? Well, a burden could be a lot of things. Could be a physical burden, could be a financial burden, could be a relational burden. But most of the time, burdens are emotional stress. And when people are under emotional stress, they're burdened down. They're going through a crisis and it dampens their emotion. He says, you know, carry each other's burdens. How do you do that? By listening. When you listen to somebody who's going through a crisis, you're carrying their burden. And he says, in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The great commandment. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Anytime you listen to somebody in a crisis, you are loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay, here's a second way to be an agent of mercy. Look for people with unmet needs and help them. Practical needs. You know, you need a car. You need me to drive you somewhere. You need somebody to do an errand for you. Can I help you paint your house? Whatever. Look for people with unmet needs and help them. That is being an agent of mercy. The Bible says this in Romans 15:2-3. Each of us needs to look after the good of the people around us. There's that word look. You got to see it. Look for the good, after the good of people around us. Asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he helped out. This is what mercy does. We look for people with unmet needs and help them. A third way God wants you to be an agent of mercy this week, look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Every day of your life, somebody around you has a loss. They lose a job. They lose a loved one. They lose finances. They lose their dream. Loss is the universal problem in life. You're going to have many losses in your life, and everybody around you is going to have many losses in theirs. There is no loss without grief and pain. And when that happens, God wants you to be an agent of mercy. Are you too busy to notice the people who are grieving where you work? Do you even know those who are grieving? Do you even know enough about them on what's happening and the losses in their life? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who are in trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. Okay, number four, fourth way God wants you to be an agent of mercy this week. Look for people needing friends and show hospitality. Look for people needing friends and show them hospitality. Now, I'm talking about people who are shy, people who are reticent, people who are retiring, people who aren't the life of the party. They might be socially awkward. They might feel uncomfortable in social settings. They might be unpopular. Everybody needs friends in their life. God hates loneliness. And one of the ways you can be an agent of mercy is look for people who are lonely and love them and just show them hospitality. Romans 12, verse 13 says this, look for opportunities to be hospitable. Hospitality is a lost art today. In our culture, we don't know how to do this. First, we're too busy, and second, we're too self-centered. We don't know how to just slow down and have hospitality with people. A cup of coffee, inviting people into your home for a meal. You realize how radical that is today? To invite people who I'm not talking about your close friends, just invite somebody to come for dinner that you have never been for dinner. That's pretty unreal. But the Bible over and over emphasizes hospitality. People are hungry for hospitality. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that the one thing you'll be judged for at the judgment is how you treated other people. And in that passage of Matthew 25, Jesus says this, I was alone and you welcomed me and you showed me hospitality. You brought me in. You welcomed me. When was the last time you showed anybody, a stranger, hospitality? Number five, the fifth way God wants you to be an agent of mercy this week. Look for people who need a second chance. Oh man, they're all over. Everybody's had failures. Everybody's stumbled. Everybody's sinned. Everybody has flaws, makes mistakes. And you see people who have failed. Maybe they've had a failed business. Maybe they've had a failed marriage. Maybe they've had a failure in some relationship. And you need to look for people who need a second chance and show them mercy. One of the ways you know when somebody needs a second chance is often they're depressed. They feel depressed, they feel in despair, because they're being like, how can I recover from this? I'm too far gone, and they're depressed. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:7, when people sin, you should forgive them, and you should comfort them so they won't give in to despair. They don't fall into that slough of despondency, that trap of depression. And giving people a second chance is one of the most powerful ways to show mercy. Number six, look for people who are rude. That should not be very hard. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. That will blow their mind because they expect rudeness to be greeted with rudeness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, don't repay evil for evil. You're not allowed to do that if you call yourself a Christian. Never retaliate when people insult you. Never. Never say unkind thing to them when they said unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. A blessing? What? Yeah, this is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need to learn how to be nice and how to be kind to rude people and not be rude back to them. You can do these six things, but it will cost you. And let me tell you what it's going to cost you if you start living a lifestyle of mercy. You'll get all kinds of benefits and blessings from it. God will bless you in amazing ways, but it will cost you. And what it's going to cost you is time. You got to be willing to take the time. I got this email this week. Pastor Rick, first time I met my neighbor, he told me, I will never go to church with you. First thing he said to him, I will never go to church with you. For the next 5 years, I looked for ways to witness to my neighbor, but he was definitely not interested. He said, then one morning recently, I was late to work. I'm rushing out the door when my neighbor yelled, hey, have you got a minute? Everything in me wanted to say, no, I don't. But I could see he was in a bad place. He was in a time of crisis. And in that split second, I decided to show mercy and to be even later to work. So we both headed off to Starbucks together. I listened to him for quite a while, but in that Starbucks, my neighbor, who had insisted that he'd never ever go to church with me, gave his life to Christ. And for 5 years, I'd tried to make a difference in his life, but it was an act of mercy that opened the door. I told you in Matthew 25, Jesus in that passage says the one thing you're going to be judged for at the judgment is how you treated other people. Jesus says in that passage, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And we will say to the Lord, Lord, when did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see you hungry and feed you? And Jesus said, and I will say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. What we're talking about here is the essence of Christianity, being agents of mercy. One day, the Bible says God is going to reward you for your acts of mercy. I want you to get those rewards. I don't want you to be standing there going, oh, sorry, I was too busy to show mercy. I was too busy to be an agent of mercy. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:10, last verse, God will not forget the work that you've done and the love that you've shown him by caring for and helping other people. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Would you say this? Dear God, help me to start looking and listening for people's needs around me. I've been too busy to pay attention. But I care, so I want to be aware. Help me to see the needs of people around me at work, at home, at school, in the neighborhood. And Lord, when I come upon people, help me not to be offended by their sins. Help me to remember that love has a way of not looking at other sins, to be patient and make allowance for each other's faults because of our love. Help me not to expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. And Lord, help me even with people who are rude. I ask you to make me an agent of mercy. And I humbly pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. Now, if you'd like the audio for this series, then be sure to request The Miracle of Mercy complete audio collection when you contact us. It's available in a box 6-CD set or by downloadable MP3s, which include portions we didn't have time for. Just perfect for when you're on the run. It's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great Bible study tool, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Google Plus or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.